Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle joins us. Bruce, 347 starts for Peavy. And what, 202 or something like that?
Just over 200, Marty.
For Gio Gonzalez. They know their way around the mound.
No, it's a great matchup. Very interesting. You know, Peavy, I think he's bought himself some credibility with these last couple starts. Certainly, he's moved well ahead of Kane in terms of the fans' faith in what's going on. They could probably use six or seven at least for him tonight after the bullpen's had the good workload. But Gio Gonzalez, totally different kind of pitcher, left-hander. He's been good. It's a very interesting matchup. Two good competitors and two totally different styles.
Yeah, they've been around. They're not getting rattled. Gio may get rattled. He's been known to.
Well, that game in Washington against the Cardinals.
Oh, they're clearly.
Yeah, he's had a couple. Yeah. He had one here when he had the lead, too.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing
game
four.
Well, they have two different personas and vibes out on the mound, too, because Gio's very stoic, right? And I don't think that's how you describe Peavy.
He's just an animal out there. He wants it so bad. He's talking to himself. He's yelling. And I love that. I love that about him. And he wears it all on his sleeve.
There you go, Bruce.
All right. Now, I'm not used to seeing you. You know, usually we are on the phone, so I'm not looking through the window of baseball. I'm looking right at Bruce Jenkins,
right.
Brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors.
It's the haze of baseball.
And Truett & White, the professional builder's choice.
There you
so,
go.
I want to make sure people know that.
Absolutely.
We're not looking through the window today.
No windows today.
Well, you've been the beat writer all week, and I know Henry's out, and we wish him well, and I can't wait to see him again, Henry Schulman. But how do you like doing the beat writing?
You know, I'm really enjoying it. It's a real grind. It's kind of like 3 to midnight, you know? I mean, it's not like the old days when you showed up at 6 and you talked to the manager, have a little bite to eat, and we're out of here. You know, there's blogs and there's all kind of stuff, all kind of digital responsibilities, put a photo in there and everything else, but the basics of covering the beat, there's a lot of responsibility. I did it forever, and it's fun to be back in that groove.
What do you think about the Nats and Scherzer last night? And Bruce, we talked about it today. There's only so many bullets in the arm of a high energy, throw it as hard as I can every time kind of guy. He did it last year in Detroit. He got the big contract last night. He got walloped.
You know, I kept looking at the gun on his fastballs, and they're 95, 94, 95, 96, and they were just hammered.
Yeah.
Crawford, Duffy, Blanco, Pence.
Yeah.
Every other fastball. It wasn't like he's hanging too many breaking balls. He kept challenging him and just getting whacked around like crazy. Really unusual to see, but we were talking last night, and you mentioned that he hasn't been pitching well. His stuff is flat. He doesn't look the same. It's not a big mystery. I mean, you can throw a million miles an hour, but if it's coming right down the pipe, it's going to get hit. You know, I love Duffy, Mr. Right Field. He dead pulled him twice. You know, I mean, and as far as the Nationals, they have the look of a team that's going down.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, they do.
They don't have any kind of good body language. Matt Williams is uptight as he can get. I think the Papelbon trade was kind of strange. It upset, you know, what they had going in the bullpen. Storen was upset, and Papelbon's not the greatest guy in the world anyway. You know, it could all change. It's still August. It could change in a big way with all the talent they have.
Yeah,
but they need something to happen. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, Pat, I always say August is when the spawning ground happens. You know, this is when all the great winning streaks that take you to the pennant happen. Things happen in August. And then things happen the other way in August, too.
Mm.
And I think you're right about the Nationals. They look like, who knows? Look, they'll come out and, you know, throw a no-hitter tonight and win tomorrow and go away, and they're back in the race again.
Yeah.
But they look like a team that they're not hitting. We know that, and it's more than just a series.
Yeah, and it's really wearing on Matt Williams, you know, our good friend from the San Francisco days. And, you know, he's pretty tense right now. He's a great guy. He's got a great sense of humor, but he's got a little temper, too. He's not liking the way things are going. The questions from the Washington media get relentless, and, you know, he really needs to change as much as anybody.
Bruce, let me ask you. We saw Steven Strasburg pitch on Thursday, and he didn't pitch terribly, but when I look at him now, I can't get 2012 out of my mind and when they shut him down. And I wonder if that has had any residual effect on Strasburg, because all these little nicky injuries are they're just really kind of dwarfing or muting his career potential, I think.
Well, they are a story of futility.
Yeah.
They're an excellent team with a lot of talent. They're always picked to do well. But to me, when they shut him down for that race, that started it all. That started the downfall. I criticized it like crazy at the time. It was insanity. You don't shut down a guy who's dominating the hitters everywhere he goes because of the friggin' innings total. And that just showed a big-time flaw in their strategy, the way they go about things. And sure enough, every time they've had a big game, something goes wrong. Now, whether are they connected, I don't know, but it seems like they are.
Yeah, and let me just say this before Marty jumps right back in, is that the rumor is the Mets are considering doing that with Matt Harvey now.
Well, they could. I mean, they've got so many pitchers. Jeez, they were thinking of going to a six. They did go to a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that. Now, Harvey's already been out. I mean, unless he says maybe this is a good idea, but if he fights it, there's no way I do that.
They need him.
Yeah.
He's a guy who will eat glass.
Yeah. He's a competitor.
Right. Yeah.
No, they need him.
Yeah.
DeGrom is wonderful, maybe the best pitcher in the league, but they need this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Dark Knight. They need him.
Like I say, if he wants to keep going, then you let him go if he wants it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He sat out enough.
Bruce, what happened? Now, Bruce Bochy talked today about Leak and Matt Cain coming back, and Osich is doing such a great job. You saw it. I saw it last night. What happens with Matt Cain next week, Mike Leake coming back? How do you resolve this thing?
Well, we just talked to Bochy. He just had a session. He wasn't able to commit to another start for Leake, for Cain.
Okay.
He didn't say he's not going to. He just said we're talking about it. So obviously, you know, they're not blind to what's going on.
Yeah.
Last night was very alarming. Even before the home run, it was starting to unravel for him. And then, you know, I don't know why they pitched to him. But when they did, you know, Cain just, his arm slot, is constantly changing his release point. Mike Kruko, I talked to him today, says he's got a new arm after the surgery, and he hasn't figured it out yet. And it's tough. You can't be experimenting at the big league level in the middle of the pennant race. So my sense is that he will get his next start on schedule, but that if he gets another one like this or the one in Atlanta, they're going to have to go to Vogelsong.
And what happened? Is Osich the one who, because he does have options?
I don't know. He raved about Osich just now, and rightfully so. I don't think, I mean, what do you do? I don't know. But Osich is really, they have options, so that would probably be the guy.
I mean, honestly, I would DL Cain.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
I would DL Cain.
Yeah.
I put Leake in that spot. Let Vogelsong get the next spot. When the rosters expand, take him off the DL, and you can work him in and give him a little time to get his head together. And don't let Osich go back.
No.
They're going into right now. They're going into two teams, and I think I added up. I think they're 85-37 at home. That's St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
You want every bullet you have.
Yeah.
As I said on the show, you don't finesse in August. In August, you come out fighting with everything you got. And I think that's what I would do.
Well, yeah, because if Cain's not in the rotation, he's no good to you.
No,
they're not going to bring him out of the pen with that.
No. And you got in 16 days from now, you're going to expand to 40 anyway.
And he's right back, and maybe he's gained a little, a little more command on the side.
Right. Then you could do. That's what I would do.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And we saw Vogelsong the other night. He looks like he really badly wants to be back in the rotation.
Well.
And he's certainly ahead of Cain right now in terms of reliability.
Well, yeah. Look at both of them. I mean, if you had to win a game right now, would you pitch Vogelsong or
absolutely.
Cain?
Absolutely. Right. Vogelsong,
I don't see it's a big debate, but, they'll do the politically
thing. Well, the thing is that Cain's bought himself an awful lot of slack, as great as he is, and Bochy and Sabian are great like that. They're very loyal to the guys who have done what they have. They don't just give up on them in a heartbeat. They give them some rope, but we're right at that edge now with Cain.
All right, he's going to be here with us. He's going to be here with us in a minute. Folks, F.P. Santangelo.
There he is.
Right
big
here.
FP.
Former co-sider. Used to live on the coast side where I live.
Come on, F.P. is here. I love doing the shows with him, F.P. and I. 2010, we did the World Series. He's going to come.
El Dorado Hills finest,
all right.
F.P. What's up, brother? How are you, man? Good to see you.
Good to see F.P. You. Sit down. We're going to talk. Yeah, we're on the air.
You want to take my...
Nah, we're going to share them. We're going to share
FP,
the mic.
F.P., come on over here, man.
We're going to get you on here a little bit. Good to see F.P. All right.
Here we go.
All right, here he is. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you?
Oh, great. I'm so glad to see you. Boy, I still tell stories, Bruce, about 2010 when they won the World Series and FP and I are on that night.
Right here.
And I'm right here and I'm sitting in the bunker and he's gone. He disappears. It's midnight. I'm in the bunker taking calls and he's gone. And where is he? He's on the mound drinking champagne.
Oh, beautiful.
That is good. I was the only guy...
In the park.
In the ballpark.
Remember
How
that?
Good is that?
And I grew up a Giants fan.
Oh, man. You're soaking it in.
And I played for the ball club, coached for the club, broadcast for the club. So I said, I'm going to soak this in.
What
so I
moment.
Took a bottle of bubbly, sat right on the mound, and was the only guy in the park the night they won the World Series in 2010.
Those are pre-selfie days where you'd have a photo.
Yeah, you're right. Those are pre-selfie days.
That's right. All right, FP is with us. Bruce Jenkins is still here. We're just kicking around a little bit the Matt Cain situation. And, look, you've seen a lot. What did you see with him last night in the Harper home run, a very dramatic moment?
I saw Matt Cain. It looked a lot different than the last time I saw him. I think if the Nats would have been more patient, he would have walked a lot of guys. He wasn't anywhere near with his fastball. He was kind of pulling it across the plate. He didn't have good command of any of his pitches. And I don't know if he's healthy. That's kind of what I looked at last night. I know the Giants wouldn't run out there if he wasn't, but he looked different. And if the Nats would have been more patient, he would have walked about six or seven guys last night, in my opinion, and they would have come back a lot sooner than they did.
Yeah, well, he's healthy in a way, but like Kruko said, it's like he's got a new arm after the surgery. He's still throwing 93, yeah. And it's like he's learning all over again. You know, I don't think he's not in a lot of pain or discomfort. It's just it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, it looked different. So, the outside looking in and not seeing him a whole lot, except for when we faced him a couple years ago, he looked a little different.
Yeah, Crawford said that the other night, too. He doesn't look like he did in the past.
Yeah, no, it's different. And you can tell because the arm is different every time he throws it. Then he'll get under the ball, get on top of the ball, and it's leaking back over the plate. And for Harper last night in FP, you've seen him. I said, you got to go back to John Wesley Powell. Boog Powell, about 1962 or something, last 22 years or younger, hitting 30 homers in a season. He's the last one to do it, and Harper did it last night. And Bruce, he DVRs all the Harper at-bats. I mean, you were on it last year.
I have in the past.
He was all over Harper last year.
Well, when he first came up, I couldn't get enough of the guy. I mean, I still can't. You can't take your eyes off him. He's one of those guys.
Well, he's under control now. In the past, he's been the leg kick jump at the pitcher had moving all over the place, and now he's under control. And I think the most impressive thing he's done that I've seen this year is a lot like Barry Bonds. He takes his walks and he doesn't expand his zone. So if you won't pitch to him, he's not going to swing. Should we let this guy in?
Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to let in. He's going to sit down.
He was an okay pitcher.
I think I just got relieved.
No, you didn't. We've got plenty of room. Take the mic off there, Bruce. And no, this one here. Just take that off. There we go. Just lift it through.
Right. Your shows are so organic, Marty. I love
this. This is why we're out here.
This is just organic as it gets. I love it.
What a thrill for us to bring in the great Dominican dandy, the Hall of Famer, Juan Marichal. Boy, we love it. Love having you here, Juan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Boy, great to see you. Boy, FP, of course, FP Santana and Bruce Jenkins.
Glad to know you.
Good to see you.
And you're here, and boy, having you here, and I love looking at the statue, and we all love the leg kick. How did you ever stay balanced with that leg kick? My goodness.
I don't know how.
But a great Hall of Famer, and he had more complete games than wins. So, Juan, when you see the pitchers today, five innings, and they get excited, what do you think?
I don't know. I think the manager don't want them to go more than five. They just want a good five, and that's it.
Well, for you, good five was not enough. When you got the ball, you went nine.
Well, those days, when you got the ball, you're supposed to go nine. And the manager and everybody want you to stay there until the game was over. But today, no need for that. Too many good relievers.
Well, that's true. I guess, FB, go ahead.
Yeah, they are, and they all throw 98 miles an hour. Every team has about three or four guys.
Yes, yes.
Well, but talk about Pedro Martinez getting the Hall of Fame. I know you guys are close. That must mean a lot to you.
Oh, Pedro is awesome. You know, he's one of the best players of that era, and I was so happy when I saw him go in. And I was there for him, and he put a good show.
He's terrific. I love watching him. Juan, everyone always asks me questions about the game with you and Warren Spahn. And it was 16 innings, and you stayed in there, and Spahn said, if that old man's still pitching, I'm not coming out. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. Alvin Dark, when they take me out in the ninth inning, I beg him to let me stay a few more innings. I told him the weather's nice, I feel good, I can go a few more innings. So now, in the 14th inning, he came back to me and said, that's it. And I said, Mr. Dark, do you see that man pitching over there? He said, yes, what happened to him? I said, well, until that man is on that mound, nobody going to take me out of this game.
And that's a true story. Warren Spahn, Juan Marichal, 16 innings, Candlestick Park in the cold, and it ends with a home run. And Willie says he told you he was going to hit a home run.
Yes. In the 16, I told Willie, I said, Chico, Alvin Dog is mad at me. I'm not pitching any longer. So he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to win this game for you. And he did. The next time I bat, he hit a ball. I was so happy when I saw that ball leaving the fans, you know, for a home run. And I think my relationship with Dark after that home run was a little better.
Do you remember, did they even keep track of how many pitches you threw that night?
227.
Wow.
Wow.
200. See.
And how did you feel? No problem?
Well, that was the only time I got an extra day rest in my whole career. Instead of 4 days, I got five.
227 pitches for one of the greatest games ever. Now, we had Willie McCovey on last week, July 30th of 59, his debut against Robin Roberts, 4-for-4, 2 triples. Your debut, all of a sudden, 1960, you come up. And you're going against the Phillies, and John Bizard is pitching against you. And you have this, Hobie Landreth is catching you in that day. And here comes Juan Marichal, and you go into the eighth inning with a no-hitter. Come on.
Yes, sir. That happened. I remember that game, and you know, I remember when they pinch hit Clay Dalrymple. And Tom Sheehan was the manager. He come up to me and say, this guy is a good fastball hitter. So throw him breaking ball. First pitch, a breaking ball, he got a single over shortstop head. So that was the only hit. July 19, 1960.
That was a debut, one-hitter. Clay Dalrymple blooped one into center field. That was the only hit off Juan Marichal. Juan, there's so many amazing games that you played in, and one was a no-hitter against Houston. And I love the story of Willie McCovey as your left fielder in that game. And you got the no-hitter against Houston. Willie McCovey had a big part defensively in that game for you.
I think so, because, you know, at that time we have Orlando and Willie, and they try both in left field. So I think Alvin won McCovey to play left field that day. And I think the only reason I threw that no-hitter was because McCovey was playing left field. He was so tall. Carl Warwick hit a ball that ball was going to leave the fence. But Willie was playing so close to the fence, he just lifted his arm and cut the ball.
Very good. Well, and McCovey catching the ball of Carl Warwick. And yes, he played so deep that he just raised his arm, and that was it. Juan, tell me about Cepeda and McCovey and Mays and being part of it, and the Hall of Famers and Gaylord Perry. What a team you guys had.
Well, I tell people, you know, that I was very fortunate to come to this country and play for the San Francisco Giants and play with men like Willie Mays behind me. You know, that was something. And then Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda, the three Alou brothers, Tom Holler, Jim Davenport, Jimmy Ray Hart, so many great ball players, Bobby Bonds. And I think that I was blessed by God to go to a team where they have so many good ball players.
Well, go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I was just going to say, I grew up in L.A. in the 60s. I watched you come to town many times. Those Giants teams, I was always amazed whenever the Dodgers beat you. It was amazing to me. And when you were out there, I don't care if you've got Goose Gossage, Hoyt Wilhelm, and Bruce Sutter in the bullpen. Don't take this guy out. He's going all the way, and time after time. And I love that. When you grew up with that and watching guys like Koufax and Seaver and Marichal going all the way, that's baseball to you. And it's hard for me to watch these guys and not finish today.
And Gibson. How about Bob Gibson?
Oh, Gibson. You know, every time you face Gibson, you know you have to bear down to stay on that mound because that game was going to be close. Sandy Koufax, same way. You know, Bob Beal with the Pirates. Don Drysdale. Oh, my God. With so many great pitchers that you have to face, that wasn't easy to win an easy game.
Wow. And none of you had arm injuries. I mean, for the most part, there was no Tommy John surgery. You guys were always healthy because you were strong, and yes, you went nine innings and you threw, and that's how you trained.
Right.
Well, what about growing up? What did you do for a baseball? What did you do for a glove? What did you do for a bat? Because you grew up in the Dominican Republic, and at one point in your life you cut some sugar cane. I know that at one point. But what did you do for equipment in those days?
Let me tell you, as a kid, we used to make our own baseball. And we used to make our own glove. And we used to climb a tree and cut a branch and make a bat. That's how we learned how to play the game. And it was rough. Sometimes some friends bring us a baseball. We thought that was the best gift that we got from somebody, because we don't have to make the ball for the next game. But that was a rough time.
Did you know much about Felipe Aloa, the first Dominican really great player? Did you hear about him? Was he an inspiration? And I think Ozzie Virgil was the first, but he was from New York a little bit. Yeah, Felipe was the real...
Yes, Ozzie was the first Dominican that came to the Major League, because he came... As a young kid, he went to Detroit, and he grew up there. So the Giants signed him, and he was the first one in the 50 that came up to the Major League.
Boy, Juan Marichal with us, a great Hall of Famer. What a pleasure to have him here, and just one of the greats.
Thank you.
Honestly, one of the greats of all time. The Hall of Fame, a name that comes up a lot. Is Minnie Minoso. And Bruce is on some of the committees that vote on this as well. Minnie Minoso just passed away. Minnie Minoso, Hall of Famer in your mind?
I think so. Well, a guy that played so many years. It's a good ball player. I think he deserved to be there.
All right.
And it was tough in those days to be a man of color, you know. And he was a very dark-skinned man, and he came up against a lot of prejudice. And he was always right there. He was durable. He put up good numbers year after year with several teams. And he played forever. He played in every decade. I think he played yesterday.
Great ball player.
All right. Yeah. So now your career ends, and I can never picture it. It ends as a Dodger. My goodness. No, I know that. But what did you think when it ends like that? My goodness.
I don't know. Somebody forced me to do that.
That's good to know.
But that happened.
It was against your will. Yeah.
All right. The great teams of the 60s, and you named some of the great players. How come you didn't win more pennants in those years? You had the great and the Gaylord and yourself and then the players we talk about. What happened?
Well, they have a different rules, you know. Those days, they don't have the playoff like today. And the team, like last year, the Giants have to play an extra game to the Pirates to be in the playoff.
Right.
So those days was either the team that win a National League and the team that win an American League, they go to the World Series. I remember 62, we had to play two extra games with the Dodgers to be in the World Series against the Yankees. But today, I think it's more easy to get to the World Series than those days.
All right. Definitely. 62, though, you bring that up. And did you win the last game when Mays hit the home run against Houston? Was that your game?
Yes.
Yeah. Juan had to win the last game in 62. Mays hit the home run, and Gene Oliver.
Yeah.
Remember him? Hit the home
Beat
run
the
for
Dodgers.
The Cardinals.
Well, last game in 71, we have to play against San Diego.
Oh, it's 71.
Because we were one game ahead of the Dodgers.
That's right.
So we have to win to win the championship, and we did. We beat San Diego 5-3 in the last game.
And you pitched the game, and Kingman hit a homer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, what a thrill.
Yeah.
What a career. When you look back on it, and you come back, you see the statue, and you see everybody, and doesn't it feel good?
Oh, yeah. Very, very good.
Boy,
very good.
Boy, amazing. Yes, really an amazing career, and you're one of the all-time great Giants. And we lost one this year, Billy Pierce.
And let me tell you, I'm very proud to be a Giant.
Yes. Very good.
Very proud. Good. And I love the San Francisco fans.
Very good. One last thing. We lost Billy Pierce this year. Billy Pierce was outstanding at Candlestick Park. Juan, yes. Tell us why Billy Pierce was so good. What about
that year in 62, I think he won 16 games.
That's right.
He won the opener of the playoffs.
The reason we made it was because Billy Pierce.
Yeah.
He got a real good year that year.
What a pleasure. Right, how do you like this team out here, the Giants?
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Tough team. It's tough to put them away.
Yes.
Yeah, they fight.
Beautiful.
All right, Juan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The great
welcome.
Hall of Famer, Juan Marichal. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. We've got to get you to sign the table, Carmen. Carmen, got to get Juan to sign the table. All right. Boy, Pat, you never know. Bruce,
hey,
this is great.
Get.
Yeah, I just remember when, as a kid in L.A., the Dodgers didn't televise any road games except the ones from Candlestick. Uh-huh. And I have such clear memories of sitting in the living room. It's a game on a Candlestick, and you're seeing the flags blown and Marichal with the high leg kick. And it's 5-0 Giants, and this game's so over. I mean,
he looks like he can still pitch.
He looks tremendous.
Yeah, come on. Can you still?
That's a youthful face.
Juan, if they need you for two innings tonight, are you ready for two innings tonight?
Hey, well, he's got 3,500 career innings pitched.
Wow, amazing. Thank you so much, Juan Marichal. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Boy, very good. Bruce, how do you like it?
Yeah, it was an honor to sit next to the man, believe me.
Isn't it? And he's so cool.
Absolutely.
He's so cool.
If you give me an all-time pitching staff, I've got him and Koufax on it, then I'll figure the rest of it out later.
Okay.
Penn, huh?
Yeah, he definitely has an energy to him, and he's got a youthful exuberance.
Yes.
That's really cool.
How'd you like a story about Spahn in the 16th inning game?
Come on, 16 innings.
227 pitches.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he looks great. He looks great.
Huh.
Boy, terrific. All right. We're going to see you tomorrow.
Yes, I will be out here sometime around 11:30.
11:30 tomorrow. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Bruce,
okay.
Have a good night.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks,
all
Bruce.
Right, real pleasure.
All right, that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Let's hear it for Bruce Jenkins as well, one of the troopers. Very good.